It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. Lens camera making noise here. My camera also making noise. I don't know what just happened. Doesn't matter. We're good. We're rolling. This is number 394, the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach in the audio podcast compendium to the weekly newsletter. You can sign up for it at accessofeasy.com from your friends at EasyDNS. Len, what's going on? What's Jag's OnlyFans account? I can't believe that guy linked up with... Am I allowed to say titty streamer on this feed? I don't know, but we'll find out, I guess, because that's exactly what she is, and a bad one at that. How's it going?
It's incredible that he's associating himself. It's one thing, like, you know, somebody comes and takes a picture with you because you have no control over that. You're a public figure. People are going to come and take a selfie with you. But to do like a video, like that's... You are taking the time to say, yes, I want to be associated with this person and I want to get a message out from both of us. And that's, I don't know. And then that other picture I shared with him, and it looks like two masked wrestlers. I'm not sure if you saw that one. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
I was just about to make the most inappropriate show.
This is becoming to be like, you know.
I can't.
What a sideshow.
We'll talk about that on CBP on Monday. This is Access of Easy, where there's not going to be much talk about mass wrestlers or OnlyFans models, you know, bottom of the barrel OnlyFans models. There is going to be, though, some refreshing our memories on last week's quote, which was, "We are always getting what we believe, but not always what we want." That was by Ernest Holmes. No one got it. This week's quote, Len: "Good judgment comes from experience, which comes from bad judgment." If you know who that was by, no Googling, put it in the comments. You get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. Len, we got frequent flyers this week, Google, we got the FBI. We don't have the trucker convoy, which was news that dropped today. I suspect we'll talk about that next week if we do talk about it. But I'll leave it to you, as always. Where do you want to start?
No, let's talk about this odd story about somebody named Xiaofeng Wang. And again, hopefully I pronounced that correctly. I may have butchered it along the way. So this guy, either he is or was a professor at Indiana University. He's also an expert in cryptography, privacy, and cybersecurity. So this guy's been around for 10 years or so in this field.
Yeah, cryptography expert of all of 10 years, it looks like. But he says he spent 20 years publishing academic papers. So
right. Yeah. But where's his work? Like, his account is gone. It's simply vanished. His account with Indiana University, like his email, everything seems to be just gone. And what's funny is, like, both he and his wife have just vanished, right? Like, from the website, from just Earth. Like, his wife, Nianli Ma. God, I'm going to butcher that one probably. Anyways, she worked also at Indiana University as a lead systems analyst and programmer. So, like, these are a couple of people that are well-schooled, respected in their fields, and they're employed at the university. So it goes to show you that there's some pedigree here. But they're gone, and police have been checking for them at the primary and secondary residence. These guys, they have sufficient funds that they have both 1/2 homes. And while all their searches have come up empty so far to find out of their whereabouts, but considering their background, right? Like, just by their name, we could assume something, right? Like, they're Chinese, right?
Yes.
So I'm thinking one of two things either happened. Well, number one, maybe, just maybe, they were collecting information and they sent enough information back to the mothership and they just simply, you know, it's time for us to disappear before they get caught.
Yeah.
So even potentially spy, espionage, stuff like that. Or second, maybe they just pissed off enough of the people from the mothership. And, well, you know, they have employed police officers on foreign soil at the foreign police stations. So maybe one of them, you know, the foreign police decided to take action, nab them, and they're on the wrong side of the law. In this case, the Chinese law. So I'm guessing those are one of the two outcomes with this. It could be something else, but it seems like, for me, those are the two most plausible. Which of the two it is, I don't know. But hopefully he and his wife are okay. But I don't know what to say. This is like pretty odd. Like, how does somebody just disappear? And then just seems very odd.
So they leave Xiaofeng Wang and his wife. What's his wife's name?
Nian Li Ma.
Nian Li Ma. So Ma Wang takes off and they decide to fly the coop. I can't believe I didn't get more of a laugh out of you there. They try to fly the coop, and here's the thing, okay? For us as Canadians, this like your siren goes off a little bit because of their country of origin. And here in Canada, it's a huge deal, right? It's in the news all the time. Guys like Sam Cooper, even Mark Cohodes is in the States, talking about the Chinese influence here in Arctic Mexico, as he calls it. But in the U.S., I didn't think this was that big a deal, this like Chinese influence. But it sounds to me an awful lot like exactly what you're describing. Either they've flown the coop because the mothership is upset with them, or they've flown the coop back to the mothership. Like, where do you land?
Yeah, I can't think of a third option that seems...
I can't either. The university has no idea. The police seem to have no idea. The FBI has no idea. They don't have any kids, as far as I can tell in the picture or in the article. So there's nothing keeping them there. That's all... You know, it sure seems like they've been there for a job, and now the job is done, and they're out of there now.
Do you think they're going to be put up in a nice place back home, given the royal treatment for everything they've done?
I don't know.
Let's hope for them. In that case, good for them. Yeah. But yeah, so many questions here that go unanswered. But for me, it's more than anything, it just highlights how sensitive data is and how easy it can be to get. Are they vetting, doing enough to vet particular candidates to do jobs? Like, are they getting sensitive information before they should get access to sensitive information? I don't know. It seems like they were both in prominent positions. They both moved up the ladder quite high. And here we are.
Interesting comment here too. Like, I don't like to read from the articles, but I find myself doing it every week. None of this is in any way normal. Matthew Green, a professor specializing in cryptography at John Hopkins, on Macedon. He continued, has anyone been in contact? I hear he's been missing for 2 weeks and his students can't reach him. How does this not get noticed for 2 weeks? Then he notes that the university wiped the page and there's actually a process. It's another guy, a McDevitt professor of computer science, noted there's like a process to scrub a website for a tenured professor. And they obviously, it's not one afternoon of work, but investigators there all day. They raided two homes that belong to this guy. And what do you say? The comments are good too, but I'm not going to read them. It's a weird story. And again, it's only interesting for you and me because we are like, you know, we live in a country where there's clearly CCP influence and I think control in some places. So we've seen things like this or things of this nature in the past, but not just disappearing tenured professors. This is not just some guy who's canvas bagging cash at a casino, right? This is a guy who's got a life. He's built a life for himself there. And he's just up and gone, vanished.
Yeah. One way to try to entice him is maybe put out some ads out there and say that he won a free trip to like Casino Niagara or something. Right? Like,
if you don't show $10 worth of chips on the bus, then we'll take you there and back. Yeah, meet you at the mall.
All right, let's talk about this Royal Mail group. And it's the UK.
That might have been the most insensitive thing that's ever been said on the show. Trying to lure in a guy from that area of the world with a casino bus, sweet deal.
Oh, I just thought it was like they're giving him like a nice trip. I didn't try to make anything. Anyways, the Royal Mail Group, this is the UK's century-old postal institution. Well, they have suffered a breach, and it looks like that the hacker by the name of, and this is going to be a repeat, so this is the first time we're going to hear it, GHNA. Is there any association to Ghana or something like
know.
That?
These guys are just making stuff up. GHNA, is it an acronym? I have no idea.
I tried looking for it. I couldn't find it. Google came up empty when I did a look.
Yeah, I don't see anything. The avatar they use is like an anime waifu type, you know, cartoon chick or whatever.
But it reminds me of Ghana for whatever reason.
Of course it does. Yeah.
Anyways, these folks from Ghana or GH, anyways, 144 gigabytes was stolen worth of data, including 293 folders. And in there was 16,000 files in total, a lot of different files. And really, what are they taking is the stuff that you expect in these type of situations, like customer names, their addresses, postal codes, shipping details, including the sender data, like the business names and services used. And even there's something interesting that was stolen in this. I couldn't believe this. Video recordings of meetings. Most notably, there were Zoom calls. What would be in there? I don't know.
It's
but
insane, you know, that people are recording calls and then putting them in the same place as customer data in their... Like, that is nuts to me.
It's in the absolutely subfolder. Insane.
Yeah. Zoom, okay. Well, in that case, then that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. So, well, to their credit, they're saying we are aware of an incident which allegedly could affected Spectos and a supplier of Royal Mail. We are working with the company to investigate the issue and establish what impact, if any, there may be regarding their data. So, I'm wondering now, is there going to be the 1 year creditor monitoring service? And if there is, maybe if you complain a little bit, you might get some free stamps alongside it. But in the end, like, what the heck? This is another brutal data breach. That's a lot of data that's going to be taken. And GHNA will be a repeat appender. So listen to that name. It's going to come up again later today.
Yeah, they're banging out two of them in this episode. The Royal Mail has had two breaches the last 2 years. So at this point, again, like honeypot type stuff, if you use them once and you haven't moved and your address and shipping info and all that is the same, then you're kind of SOL. But if you have moved, maybe lucky you, some of your information now is going to be out of date, and that, you know, whatever data breach treasure trove everyone else showed up in, you may be there with your full name, but your details will be incorrect. Thank God. Terrible, man. And this is like a, you know, not a company that just came around. It's a 400, 500 year company, right? It's not like brand new or anything. They've yet again here inside of 2 years had trouble with data management. And there's nothing, if you're somebody who needs to use the service, like, you don't have another choice.
Yeah.
So you're stuck. And this is the problem with certain silos are prevented from seeing any real competition thanks to unions or whatever else. This might be a good example of that. And when you have something like that, these guys don't have to adjust. They just take it in stride. And I doubt very much that they're going to even give you a year of identity monitoring or whatever else is going on.
But I want the stamps.
Yeah, the stamps.
I want the stamps.
Get a couple of QE2s if they still got them around. Yeah, might be worth something.
Open SNP. Never heard of this thing before, but
S&P apparently is looking open today. Let me tell you, it wasn't a good day on the market.
Well, Open SNP is a crowdsourced open source platform where users could share their genetic and phonetic type data.
That's good. And open source, genetic. Tell me if you've heard this one before. Let's keep going here. Can't wait to hear more about this.
So you're just giving up the information freely, and this allows researchers to explore and analyze this information for research and educational purposes. People are willingly giving up their DNA to get information. And it just, I'm amazed that people are still doing this.
It's crazy.
But either way, so this open source repository, well, it's going to be closing up shop in a not too distant future. In fact, the end of April is when they're anticipating it's all going to be done. And they're doing this because of a variety of reasons. Number one, they're thinking that the encroachment by governments might be something of concern, and they don't want to be subjected to any sort of request for information. The second is the 23andMe bankruptcy is just highlighting that this thing is a honeypot, and this 23andMe bankruptcy, somebody's going to be able to get this for very cheap. I mean, I'm not going to be able to afford it, but I'm just talking about it in general in terms of what's in there. And they're going to get all this information, people's DNAs.
It's listed as an asset. Like, it's listed as an asset in the bankruptcy filings. It's insane.
What it's worth today, I think it's worth a heck of a lot more in the future, mm-hmm. given what we could be done with DNA. Like, I have no idea. I'm just anticipating that type of data can be used in so many different ways in the future. So OpenSMP is just, they had enough. They've been doing a great job from, you know, in terms of getting information and using very little money to do it. Apparently it's been costing only $100 a month to just set up and maintain this, but still in the end, you're just saying enough is enough. Things are getting a little too hairy, and we're going to be done with this. So Yeah, I've never used, and I don't recommend anybody using these type of services. But people do with their pets too, and they want
to
do that.
The pets thing I kind of get, because you need to know what predispositions your dog might have in terms of like aggression or diseases, or like, I get that. Having put a dog down a couple of years ago, there's things I wish I would have known about that dog that I didn't know because I didn't really get a look at the genetics. Fine, but the thing about human DNA is that, you know, you live for a long time, God willing, and there's a lot of ways to use that to attack you. The most obvious one these days, as governments claw for money everywhere they can find it, like truly turning over every couch cushion in places like the US at the moment, why would they not just charge you more for your healthcare premium? In Canada, they take a little bit more off your paycheck, or in the States, they put a little bit more on your private insurance premium if you have predispositions to these diseases. And who sets the threshold for what exactly a predisposition is? It's not going to be you're 1% more likely, so you only get 1%, you know, more fee. It's going to be you're 1% more likely, so you pay a flat rate of, you know, $100 more every year or something like that, right? Per disease, per person, you name it. It's just, it's unbelievable that people are still doing this. Now, here's a question for you. 23andMe goes under. I don't know if there's another DNA service, paid one, besides 23andMe. Do you expect another one to pop up and take its place in the not too distant future? Because I sure do. I 100% expect this to continue as a business.
I wonder why 23andMe went out of business. What was the right? Like, sure, they were spending more money than they were taking in. But why? Is it because the business model is not profitable? And if that's the case, then why would somebody spin up a new competitor, or at least copy pasta when it didn't work the first time? I don't know. I have no idea. You seem to be on the side. Yeah, they're going to be doing something.
Yeah, I think they're going to, because I think eventually those companies are going to get government subsidy. The government, I would guess the government wants that data from you, and it's hard to get it from people short of getting it at birth. So why not just spin up something like that, call it arm's length, and support them and see how much data you can get from people, or pay the people for the data. How about, like, you know, you say that, I mean, not like you, but the royal you may say that, yeah, this thing went under. Why would people keep doing it? I would just point you to other avenues where you're forced to engage in commerce with companies that have bad business practices. Insurance companies is a great example, car insurance companies. How many people do you know that got that stupid, take this thing, put it in your car, and if you drive safely, we'll knock a little bit off your premium? Well, everybody drives worse than they think, and you end up paying more on your premium, you know? It's like these things happen all the time. As long as government gets involved, I think you're going to see another one of these things spin up. And if this is truly valuable data for governments to have, they will find a way to get it.
And the pet thing, Joey, isn't there like any concern on your end that your pet won't be potentially unique if you give up the DNA for the
pet? No, I don't care.
There's always talk about, you know, cloning and whatnot. And if they do that,
yeah, let my pet, yeah, clone them. No problem. Go for it. You can have all the same joys and headaches that I have if you want. No big deal. I mean, the breeds, whatever. To me, that's not a big deal. To boutique owners, maybe. You might have something on that.
Google, you were mentioning them at the top of the show, and here
heavy
we are.
Hitter, repeat offender.
Well, I mean, it's just a new type of service they're offering their clients, which is now it's end-to-end encryption. So this is being rolled out for users, for emails. So if you're using Gmail, now you're able to do encryption before sending the message. And it's a client-side encryption, CSE, that's being employed here. They've had encryption in the past, but now it's just far easier to do it. So they're just giving the end user the ability to encrypt your data. But really, do we trust this? I know it's still client-side encryption, but there's something with me that I'm thinking about Google that just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
They're established the United States, and I think that if push comes to shove, if there's ever a request for anything, they'll bow down. Why would they not? And it just makes sense that they would, because they want to continue to do business and remain on the good side of the United States government. They've been obviously pushed quite a bit between the Department of Justice looking to talk about getting their, what is it, Chrome or whatever, separated from their suite of services.
Antitrust,
So you have this going on. So why would, you know, next time they come around, the government's knocking on the door, we need something, they'll say, sure, here you go, just to try to get on the good side. So
exactly.
I mean, end-to-end encryption, you know, it's good to have, but really, are you going to trust Gmail and Google to do it for you? I would say no.
No, I don't think you can. And by the way, I think email is still accessible anyways, right? Once something lands in your inbox and is decrypted, is it not just accessible the same way that all email is? Email among the least secure methods of communication out there these days.
Yeah, I think that when it's the transfer, I think that's the problem. So from point A to point B. So if you're using encryption, then that ensures that at least the data is going to be getting there and it's not going to be intercepted easily and deciphered easily. But still, the fact that Google's involved, I don't know. I like to stay away from them as much as possible when I'm doing anything.
So I mean, I have a Gmail account that I use for a lot of basic stuff. Yeah. But more and more, if I'm doing something secure, I veer away from that to a different service.
Oh, and there's so many alternatives out there that I don't want to name them, but just do some searches and they're all free, which is great. Yeah. And highly recommended. So agreed. Do your research. There's some good ones. But yeah, we'll talk about this last story with Samsung. And so customers that are associated with Samsung Germany, they got wrecked this past week because some 270,000 customer records from their ticketing system was stolen by whom? GHNA. Oh, they're at it again. They've been busy. Yeah, there's Ghana folks out there. My apologies to Ghana. So the leak data, they're saying that this could be used in a variety of ways because they could do targeted phishing attacks now if they have this information on the clients. Also, they could potentially do an account takeover by trying to talk to customer service and doing an impersonation because now they have way information on the individual. So if they're asking some personal questions, they could easily answer them. Also, there could be some physical attacks. Given what's transpired in Europe, specifically in Germany, the new folks that have arrived there, it gives them an opportunity now to do some, in a physical attack. Now they have information, stuff gets mailed to them. They could just take it away, be like the port pirate, stuff like that. So, yeah, I feel bad for anybody out there that got wrecked. And what are they going to do? I hear nothing about credit monitoring or anything along those lines. But what can they do with this? It's just basically you got to roll with the punches and, too bad, so sad.
There was a story I saw on Twitter the other day, similar to this. A guy was following a UPS truck and he was tailing this guy and saying, there's an iPhone on that truck. I have to get to work. It's for me. Here's my name and address. And the driver's like, I can't give it to you here. You have to come with me at least to your house. It was like two blocks away. So the guy stays with him. He gets in front of him in the driveway, signs for the device, takes the iPhone, and the guy inside who it was actually intended for, who was actually the man with the identity that this tailgater claimed to have been using, didn't get the phone. And so like that tells you there's a problem somewhere, right, in a system like Apple's or UPS's with the tickets. Then you hear this like Samsung thing now.
And that story was nuts. I remember reading that. It's like, how?
Yeah. So this is happening in a couple different places. So like where's the leak? That's a big problem. There's a lot of valuable stuff on those trucks, including, as we've talked about, Len, Costco will ship you gold, right? They'll send you a gold bar if you order one from Costco, or a gold ounce, whatever. You can get computers and phones and all type of stuff. That's especially Apple phones. Like they're linked to a name these days. It's like, what is the value in stealing it? Well, there must be some, because people are following trucks and trying to grab these ticket information and stuff from Samsung. It's brutal. And then worse, this type of security threat, you can't just patch away. You have to find whose credentials are being used to get the information. It's like a difficult thing to hunt down if you're the company who's affected. Terrible. This is a rough go for these guys.
Yeah, and then when you have somebody's name, their address, telephone number, email address, like it's not simply you could wipe this off and have them. They're not going to move easily. Like, so this information is going to haunt them for some time, and it could be used against them in a variety of methods. So, yeah, just kind of like what happened in Ottawa. We had the court case wrapped up today.
Yeah.
What was it? Mischief?
Tamara and I forget her name. Mark actually just messaged us about that as we were starting to record. But next week we'll do it. Well, he didn't say we're going to do it, but next week we'll probably do it, and we'll talk about that a little bit. I think that falls under overreach and more than data breaching, but it's a big story all the same. So anyway, that's it for this week. Come back next week. Sign up for the podcast. Register, subscribe, whatever word you like to use. Make sure you do the same for the newsletter. Comes every week. You get the four or five stories Len and I cover, plus much more from Joan and Mark over at EasyDNS and Access of Easy. Until next time, friends, take care of yourselves. Take care.